Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way Full Year 2018 Results Analyst Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our full year 2018 results conference call. As usual, I'm here with Aldo and Adalberto. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo, and good afternoon to everyone. For the presentation today, I will start with my opening remarks and key takeaways of 2018. Adalberto will run you through the details of our performance, and at the end, we will welcome, as usual, your questions. 2018 was the third year of execution of our industrial plan, and we are pleased where we stand. If you look at the metrics on slide number four, you have a clear picture of the progresses we have made, with 2018 being another year of growth, consistently delivering on the pillars of our strategy. First, in the support to Rai in the technological upgrade of its offer and infrastructure. Here, as I will show later on, we have been very much consistent in securing the main project expected in the industrial plan. More recently, we have also paved the way to further broaden the activity with Rai through new services aimed at improving quality and extending coverage of the network. This is particularly relevant also in the context of the upcoming so-called refarming process, a moment of discontinuity for the sector that, by the way, we are working to manage both in terms of operational and financial impact on the company. Secondly, the company achieved outstanding results in pursuing efficiencies throughout the entire cost base. This allowed us to increase our profitability both by 360 basis points from 50.7%-54.3%, with improvement in every year. This was made possible even in a context of a top line that almost didn't benefit from CPI and despite some headwinds in the business with MNOs. Here, with regards to our third-party customers, we are pushing on all opportunities with other customers that can help us to preserve the business, and the results we are presenting today are encouraging. The outstanding trend of our bottom line and the enhanced cash generation helped to further strengthen our balance sheet, confirming our financial flexibility to catch potential opportunities. In this respect, we have also put a lot of effort in the sector consolidation, although we don't have major news to share with you today. In any case, we continue to be committed to actively take part to future sector evolution, achieving the industrial benefit related to such consolidation. Let me now focus on the key takeaways of our 2018 on slide number five. Our commitment towards operational effectiveness and efficiency translated in a very good set of results, with improvement in all major economic and financial metrics. I am particularly pleased that our net result reached almost 60 million euros, which is 6% higher than last year, but more importantly, already higher than the 2019 target of the current industrial plan. A clear sign of the outstanding job we have done in improving our adjusted EBITDA and of our ability to bring those improvements down to the bottom line, which also means remuneration for our shareholders through dividends. For 2018, we decided to propose to our annual general meeting the distribution of a 21.96 euro cents dividend equal to 100 payout ratio. Then, as you perfectly know, the biggest moving part in our sector is the refarming process. Here, after the several changes on which we kept you updated during all the 2018, some important progresses towards the definition of the regulatory, technical, and procedural aspect have been recently made. Indeed, the process has been reshaped between the end of 2018 and the beginning of the year by the 2019 budget law and the new PNAF issued afterwards that introduced a new distribution of the frequencies as well as new process deadlines. And according to the new schedule, a good level of visibility should be reached by the summer with the upcoming decision by the authority, coupled with the ongoing discussion with RAI to agree the technical solution to be adopted, that together will allow a precise definition of the investment to be done. But I'll further elaborate more on this in a while. Apart and ahead of the refarming, our commercial activity with RAI ramped up as expected after the renewal of the RAI concession with the government and unlocked some very important contracts, above all the one related to the extension of the coverage of the thematic multiplexes. Adding these recent contracts, the project already contractualized in the past, we have been able to materially broaden the pipeline of the new services originally included in the industrial plan, with the opportunity to leverage also on these extra activities to mitigate the impact of the refarming. And as I said before, more will follow. Then the commercial activities. About the commercial activities with all other customers different from RAI, confirm the two opposite dynamics we have seen through the year. So with the MNO segment still experiencing pressures on volumes, but also with the supportive performance of the other segments that benefit from our more proactive and customer-oriented commercial proposition. So we can say another busy but solid year. With a positive momentum, we expect to carry on in 2019, consistently supporting a further improvement of the performance and preparing the company to the changes that will happen in the sector. And now, let's look in more detail at the most recent update in the so-called refarming process, moving to next slide, that is slide number six, and starting with a brief recap of what happened last year. In June, the EGCOM released the national plan for the frequencies in coherence with the 2018 budget law. However, as you probably remember, right after the issue, the EGCOM itself and some operators, including RAI, flagged up some criticalities of the foreseen configuration already committed in our commented in our previous conference call, namely frequency allocation to local operators, secondly the conversion of current right use of frequencies, and perhaps most important also the RAI Multiplex One entirely in VHF bandwidth, which could have been technically inefficient also for the final users. So in order to address those, let me say, important criticalities and agree on alternative solutions, the Ministry of Economic Development established the so-called TV 4.0 Working Group, which came out at the end of November with some important guidelines suggesting to first remove the constraint on the one third of the spectrum to be devoted to the local operators. Secondly, change the configuration of Multiplex One, discarding the use of the VHF band, moving it entirely to UHF band, and consequently devoting the VHF band mainly to the development of the digital radio, and then allocate two more frequencies to the national operators to be assigned through an auction. And also distribute more money to the citizens for the upgrade to their TV sets and decoders. And all these guidelines were then included into the 2019 budget law approved in last December. Consequently, the AGCOM updated the PNAS in February, depicting the configuration that is different from the previous one, with 14 multiplexes, all in UHF, apart one which uses also VHF frequencies, of which 12 national and 2 local multiplexes. Out of the 12 national, 10 will be assigned through the conversion of the current right of use, including the main regionalized RAI UHF multiplex with 99% population coverage, and the other 2 multiplexes divided into 4 capacity blocks to have a multiplex each, of a half multiplex each, to be assigned through an auction based on a single offer with no possibility to increase it. Then, in terms of technology, the upgrade to the DVB-T2 transmission standard is confirmed, as well as the intention to use the most advanced codec. And having said that, if you look at the impact on the number of multiplexes, under the scenario, RAI could be awarded 2.5 multiplexes, eventually 3 after the auction. Therefore, RAI Way would likely manage 3 multiplexes for RAI. And in order to elaborate more on the potential impact on RAI Way, in the following slide, you can see the new schedule for the issue of the other relevant documents and decisions by the authority. So slide number 7. And while these documents and decisions are taken, we are discussing with RAI to agree the technical solution to be implemented, and consequently the investments we will have to make thanks to the ownership of the active equipment. This investment will be spread over the entire network, so from the release of frequencies to the upgrades of the transmitters and head ends for the DVB-T2 standard and codec, and from the, as I can say, from the activities on the multiplexes in terms of deployments and the new regionalized multiplex one with 99% of coverage, to the optionality to further extend coverage of other national multiplexes. And as you can see, moving to slide number 8, we have already started to work on it. Indeed, some contracts related to refarming have already been signed in 2018, namely the release of the 3.6, 3.8 gigahertz bands with operating activities that are already ongoing. On top of this, you also see the other stream of secure activities, in particular the coverage extension of both the DTT and DAB Plus networks, and the total amount of CapEx related to this project is above 50 million euros over the period 2018-2020, with an expected run rate EBITDA contribution from 2021 of approximately 10-11 million euros. Moreover, as I said before, the assessment and discussion with RAI on additional initiatives, also on top of refining, like for example more extensive DAB plus, DAB plus, and supporting the enhancement of IP platform is ongoing, actually ongoing, and more important, consistent with RAI's multi-platform distribution strategy, as well as with its obligation related to the service contract and refarming. Coming back to the initiative signed in 2018, considering this contract together with the project contractualized in the 2015-2017 period, the new services to RAI we have been able to secure so far coverage a range of activities wider than the pipeline included in the 2015-2019 industrial plan. So moving in particular to slide number 9, if you compare the pipeline of potential initiatives included in the industrial plan back in September 2015 with the contract secured so far, we have been able not only to successfully complete all the pending negotiations, but also on one side to extend the scope of some services, and this for example the DTT coverage extension mentioned before, and on the other to include additional activities like enabling all HD channels offered on satellite platform. And all this without jeopardizing the target return, our targeted return, at least at 10%. So this translates also in terms of CapEx and related remuneration. Moving to slide number 10, if you add the 60 million euros secured in 2018 to the approximately 25 million CapEx spent in the period 2015-2018, in the incoming years, we will be able not only to fill the gap with the level assumed in the industrial plan, so as you remember, 47 million euros, but also to count on an additional buffer whose remuneration we have to mitigate the lower number of managed multiplexes. And this even not considering the further activities still being negotiated in the context of refarming. And looking now at the operating activity, we are also very satisfied with the results of our efficiency initiatives that are helping us to support our profitability in the context of very low CPI experience so far. And in slide number 11, you can see the trends of our OPEX in 2018 compared to 2017. In the previous years, we have already done a lot to optimize our cost base, and this was the result of some major initiatives, like, for example, the early retirement plan. In 2018, we have nevertheless put a continuous effort on the marginal efficiencies, and let Adalberto will elaborate more on this, but we worked on all the main cost items, as you see there, from optimization of rent to rationalization of real estate, more than offsetting the rising energy prices. And this effort will continue in the future. Now let's look in more detail at our performance in 2018, moving to slide number 12. Starting as usual with our core revenues that grew 0.7% at 217.7 million euros. Then adjusted EBITDA reached 118.3 million, with a year-on-year increase of 2.4%, thanks to the further efficiencies achieved on both personnel and other OPEX, and that despite the 0.7 million lower other revenues compared to 2017. Then we confirmed our best-in-class profitability with the adjusted EBITDA margin at 54.3%, so 90 basis points higher than last year. And the higher EBITDA, together with the lower financial charges in income taxes that more than offset the higher D&A, led to a net income of 59.7 million, so 6.2% higher than last year. On the financial side, consistently with our expectations, the level of maintenance capex went back after the weak 2017 at 19.4 million, equal to 8.9% of the revenues. On top of this, we spent 7.6 million in development activities, bringing the overall amount of capex to approximately 27 million euros. About net financial position at December 31, recorded a net cash for 16.6 million. Mainly reflecting the usual strong cash conversion at around 84%, with 2017 level again affected by lower than average capex, and the positive trends of working capital recovering from some temporary effects in 2017. And with this, I'll hand over to Adalberto for the running through of the main drivers and of our numbers. So Adalberto, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Aldo. Good afternoon to everyone. As you have already heard from our CEO, we are presenting also today a set of very good numbers, which is in line with our expectation and in some cases even better. The KPI are consistent with the trends we have recorded over the last quarters and show positive progresses at both economic and financial level. Let's start with the top line, slide 13. Overall, core revenues are up 0.7% at 217.7 million euros, with the growth of the business we try weakened by lower revenue counterparties. Let's go more in detail. Revenues from RAI grew 2%, benefiting from the first meaningful contribution, 0.8%, from the Italian CPI, and the material step-up of the new services for RAI, helped by recurring contribution from the project that we already commented in the past, like the contribution network upgrade, the HD channels broadcasting on satellite platform, and by the first activities of the contract related to the refarming. And moreover, they also benefit from some una tantum fees, mainly related to the MUX coverage extension contract, and mostly accounted for in the first half of 2018. The improvement of the new services for RAI, stripping out the effect of this una tantum, is in the range of 26%. And if you look at the revenues from third parties, they closed at 33.1 million euro, down 5.9%. Excluding non-core items, the decrease is 4.8%. Some non-core items we had in 2017. This was due to the overall trend of the third party's revenue is due to the two opposite dynamics we have seen since the beginning of the year. First, the headwinds in the MNO segment, and then the supportive mid-single-digit growth recorded in the other segments. With the new activities with corporate customers and TV radio broadcasters that coupled the already promising progress with the fixed wireless access customers. Moving now to cost and to slide 14. Total OPEX in 2018 was slightly below of 100 million, with a further 1.9% reduction compared to 2017 figures. And that's thanks to the efficiency Aldo already mentioned, and positively impacted our entire cost base. From personnel, mainly benefiting from the full impact on core salary component of early retirement plan, to the other OPEX, where we continue to focus our effort on the efficiencies that led to a further optimization of all the main cost items. All these helped to more than offset the higher energy cost that without prior year adjustment increased by approximately 0.3 million euro year on year. In the next slide, slide 15, you can see how these efficiencies led to the 118.3 million adjusted EBITDA we recorded in 2018. So, out of the 2.8 million increase of the adjusted EBITDA, 0.9 million euro came from revenues, core and other, as a net effect of higher core revenues for 1.5 million euro, and other revenues that were 0.6 million lower than last year. Let me remind that last year we had a one-off positive impact coming from some compensation. On top of this and of the lower personnel cost we already discussed, let's enter in some detail of our OPEX. Rents were positively impacted by both the optimization of fiber optics and our car fleet. Then we see a 0.8 benefit, even it is temporary, coming from maintenance costs. And as far as the intercompany costs are concerned, they continue to be an area of important efficiencies for us and provide the 2018 adjusted EBITDA with an upside close to 0.5 million euro, mainly coming from the rationalization of the spaces of our premises in the country and the optimization of the IT services. So finally, and as already commented, utilities were the only line that grew due to the higher cost of energy, the unit cost. We see an increase of 0.1 million euro year-on-year, on a normalized basis, the increase is 0.3 million euro. Looking now at the profit and loss till the net income, let's go to slide 16. Here below the adjusted EBITDA that we already commented, I would mention the reduction of the one-off expenses by 0.5 million euro that is driven by the early retirement plan that led the EBITDA to grow almost 3%, reaching 117.1 million euro. Then, important, the D&A went up 0.9 million euro, reaching 33.3 million euro. And let me remind that this amount includes depreciation, amortization, and also bad debt provision, as well as provision for charge and risk. And the increase was in line with the expectation we had, as it reflects the end of the reduction trend seen in the past years. And then let me also remind that the comparison with the particularly low level recorded in 2017 was impacted by a one-off release of risk and charge accrued in the previous years. Then financial interest were 0.4 million euro lower, benefiting from the advance reimbursement of the remaining 45 million euro of the term credit line back in July, as we already commented in our last call. And on the fiscal side, the overall tax rate confirmed the benefit from the positive one-off impact of the fair taxes recorded in the first half, but with a Q4 level much more aligned with previous year figures. All this led to a further 6% increase in our net income that rose to almost 60 million euros, the overall number, materially above the 2019 industrial plan target 1 year in advance. Moving now to the financials, slide 17, on cash flow generation. At the end of December, we recorded a net cash position of 16.6 million euro, while at the end of 2017, we had a net debt of about 5 million euro. Behind this significant improvement, and on top of the higher EBITDA, I would mention the extraordinary 13 million euro benefit we got from the working capital, helped by the first the reduction of trade receivable from third party, which by the way were particularly high in 2017 due to a temporary build-up. And secondly, also higher trade payable related to higher capex, mostly concentrated in the second half of the year. As far as the capex are concerned, the overall investment in 2018 grew to 27 million euro, with the maintenance component that recovered from the very low level of 2017 and was 9% of core revenues as expected, bringing the last 4 year average slightly below 8%. And organic development spending closing at 7.6 million, doubling the 2017 amount. So in terms of cash generation, before the impact of the development capex and dividends, it stood at 84.1 million, again positively impacted by the swing of the working capital for 13 million euro compared to a cash out of about 16 million we had in 2017. Slide 18, balance sheet. Lastly, our net invested capital was 164 million euro, with the material reduction compared to 2017 almost entirely due again to the working capital. And with that, I will hand back over to Aldo to go through the dividend proposal for 2018 and the outlook for 2019, which I remind you is before the impact of IFRS 16. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. And before going into the detail of our guidance, let me spend a few words on the dividend proposal for 2018. As I already mentioned before on this result, we will propose to our AGM the payment of a dividend of 21.96 euro per share, equal to 100% payout ratio and a remarkable 4.6% dividend yield. And if approved, this dividend will bring the overall amount distributed to shareholders since our listing at approximately 230 million euros, almost one third of the market cap at the time of the IPO, and that's in just 5 years. A very satisfactory result that confirms once again the commitment of the company towards the remuneration of our shareholders, which over the last 5 years has been also supported by a positive stock performance. And now we are moving at the last slide with the guidance for 2019. As anticipated, we are confident that in 2019 we will continue to support our growth. In particular, we expect a further improvement at the adjusted EBITDA, with main drivers being CPI, new services to RAI, and again cost control, therefore similar to the ones had in 2018, so last year. Maintenance CapEx on core revenue substantially in line with 2018, bringing the last 5 years average at approximately 8%, so it's much better compared to the already provided guidance of 8.5%. Again, we remember again that this indication are of course before the IFRS 16 application. And moreover, considering that 2019 is also the last year of our current industrial plan, let me also underline that all in all, our expectations for this year are broadly in line with what we assumed back in 2015, although with a different mix. So at adjusted EBITDA level, the low revenues are mostly compensated by efficiencies, as by the way already reflected in the market consensus. In particular, considering that the anticipated slightly lower contribution in 2019 from multiplex extension project is just a phasing effect due to late signing, while on the opposite, the run rate contribution will be much higher given the wider scope. We would be fully in line with the target thanks to efficiencies offsetting lower CPI and MNOs. And last, in terms of normalized equity free cash flow, 2019 level is expected bang in line with the industrial plan, but with an higher accumulated 2019 level thanks to the faster rationalization of maintenance capex. That will also be reflected in a better net financial position. And with this, we will now welcome your question. And thank you.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from Mr. Giorgio Tavolini of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen, and thanks for picking my question. May I ask you, in the event of the upcoming tower consolidation in the telecom segment between Vodafone and INWIT, do you see any risk of repatriation of the active equipment that is currently hosted on your towers and migrated then to the combined entity? And secondly, if you could provide us more visibility on the positive swing in the working capital in Q4, I expect I see 20 million positive swing. I would like to know if it's something non-recurring or what can expect for the Q1. Thank you.
Thank you, Giorgio. Let me start, needless to say, that for the two tower calls, this agreement is a success that will bring several benefits. And let me now elaborate on the potential impact in our business, as you asked us. First of all, the consolidation of the two portfolios does not add further risk to the one already brought by the, as you know, the site sharing agreement. Indeed, if they have two proprietary towers, so INWIT and Vodafone, in close proximity, consolidation would be beneficial for them in terms of decommissioning, but neutral for us, as none of them is on our tower. If both of them are hosted on third-party sites, either on us or others, it means they have no tower to consolidate or to share. In the other cases, meaning one of them on a third-party site with the other on a proprietary tower, the risk for us is already represented by the site-sharing agreements without necessity for them to consolidate. But the site sharing from MNOs, in particular TIM and Vodafone, is something they are already implementing in the areas where our sites are substantially located. So let me say, nothing really new, a risk that was already materializing even before the deal, the INWIT Vodafone deal, being indeed one of the driver of the pressure in our M&O segment, and that at worst might be slightly accelerated, but in any case, let me say, it's too early to say. For the second part of the question,
yes,
let me Adalberto can reply you.
Regarding the working capital, unfortunately, in some cases, because of the huge amount of certain trade receivable we had with some few customers, in some cases, if we have a delay of some days in the collection that is expected at the end of a quarter, a delay of a few days can create a big impact on the working capital. So I would suggest to focus on the yearly figures of the working capital. For sure, looking at the quarter, at this quarter, we had a positive impact. But overall, looking at yearly figures, we should expect a neutral impact coming from the working capital on a recurring basis, considering that and looking at the 2018 yearly figures, we had an extraordinary one-off of that basically offset the negative that we had in 2017, and this was due to a temporary build-up of our trade receivable we had at the end of 2017, and this was something extraordinary because typically we have a seasonality on the quarter, on the first and on the third quarter. So it was the first time in Q4 2017 that we saw a build up of our trade receivables. So because of this extraordinary effect, we should take into consideration that the positive of this year are really extraordinary. Assuming we didn't have that extraordinary impact in 2017, the working capital variance was close to zero in 2018 on yearly figures, talking about the yearly figures again. Then, of course, there is also an impact coming from the amount of our capex, and to the extent the capex are increasing, and this is the case in 2018 vis-à-vis 2017 figures, this has an impact on our trade payable that we record at the end of each year.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Anna Pezzini of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. I just want to ask whether you can provide any color on Persidera. Thank you.
Just one second, please.
About Persidera, we have read on this no binding offer from the team press release as well. Indeed, this is an offer no longer in the context of the process that basically has been put on hold again after the offer submitted in September. In the last year, we have, as you know, we have approached this asset from at least, let me say, three different angles, always meeting the restrictions and constraints arising both from sector regulation from one side and from antitrust that prevented or suggested us not to acquire frequencies. And so, in particular, from you say the regulatory perspective, being part of the right group, we, as you know, we cannot exceed the cap of five month laxes. So, secondly, from an antitrust perspective, it's better to avoid any form of further vertical integration among three different layers that, to put it very simple, we have in our sector, you know. So the first layer is infrastructure, meaning towers and active equipment. The second layer is frequencies, meaning network operators. And third layer, the content provider, so meaning broadcasters. So in addition, again, from antitrust perspective, the eventual creation of vertical integration subjects, so like infrastructure together with frequencies, could make any theoretical further consolidation within any of these layers, for example, infrastructure. And this is more complicated. In this respect, you may probably remember the outcome of the antitrust assessment at the time of 8-hour bid on railway in 2015. So for all these reasons, as always stated, we are not allowed or willing to acquire the entire assets, despite being the best positioned operator away to manage the network and maximize its valuation. But as you know, since the seller seemed to prefer the disposal of the entire company, we automatically are disadvantaged, regardless the devaluation. So in any case, let me say that the same constraints and collateral effect, in particular antitrust constraints, are valid not only for Rai Way, but for everyone who will acquire Persidra. So let me say, let's see in the future. Thank you.
The next question is from Antonella Frongillo of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I have some questions. The first one is on RAI, and in particular on the business plan that RAI approved a few days ago. I was wondering if you could comment about any kind of implication for you, aside from the qualitative comments you already did on the refarming process. And the second question is on the refarming process. Considering the calendar of the process that you detailed in the slide number 7, when will you be able to sit down and agree with RAI the potential new investments, after which step, at the end of the process or during the process? And lastly, on the tax rate, could you provide any guidance for 2019?
Hi, Antonella.
Hi.
So let me start with the last question on the tax rate. Looking at the 2018 performance, we have to consider that we had an extraordinary impact coming from the fair tax in relation to the enfranchisement of a goodwill we recorded in the acquisition we did in 2017 of Sud Engineering. And because of this, clearly the yearly figure is something that is quite low vis-a-vis our run rate level. So to have a good proxy, we can easily look at the Q4 figures, where when the tax rate was more or less 29%, and this I believe is a good proxy, even because it should be quite also similar to the amount we recorded in 2017.
Hi, Antonella, Aldo. So about your first question, as I said during my presentation, my speech, RAI is focusing also on the development and upgrade of technological infrastructure with, from one side, the fulfillment of the obligation related to the service contract and refarming, and on the other, on a multi-platform distribution strategy, where the relevance of DTT is confirmed and coupled with an enhanced IP distribution. And this would likely translate into an additional activity for our company, for Rai Way, for sure in the context of the farming, and hopefully also in terms of new development projects. But let me say, it's too early to elaborate on numbers. And about already, we have already started to discuss with RAI on technical solution and scope of activities for Rai Way, but according to the calendar show during the presentation, we expect to have more visibility on this open point by this summer, and we prefer to provide a comprehensive picture only after having reached that fully visibility on all compounds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
question comes from Mr. Stefano Gamberini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry, probably my questions were already answered during the presentation, but I joined it later. The first regarding the expected return that you will ask to RAI for the additional capex that you will do for the refarming. You modulate your request with RAI, considering also this what you show at page 8 of this 50-60 million euros capex, of which, if I understood correctly, around the half has already done before 19, and the additional EBITDA of 10-11 million euros. This is the first question. The second, regarding the network operators market, we noticed that Mediaset closed down premium activities, that probably also Sony will leave the market. So considering that you are analyzing this market, because a few months ago you presented an offer jointly with F2II regarding Persida, are you seeing a market under pressure in terms of prices for the network operators, or do you not see any changes? The last one regarding a possible deal on Persida by F2I, do you think that this could accelerate a further consolidation in the market? What I mean is clearly a merger, or to put on the table again a possible agreement, possible consolidation between Railway and 8 hours, or do you think that the political scenario, we are in the middle of the refarming, and so there are some other obstacles to this final solution? Thanks.
So let me start with the first question on the expected return. The best proxy we have in terms of expected return is the one that we can have looking at the past. And looking at the past, the IRR was slightly above 10%, that meaning more or less that for each million euro of development capex, we had a positive impact in terms of increasing revenues of more or less 0.2 million euro, considering that the high marginality on all these increasing revenues. So this is the best proxy that we have and that we will have in mind to negotiate and approach RAI.
Hi Stefano, about the, you ask about the link between the Persidera deal and the consolidation of the sector, so the big deal. Let me say that the link is not that that direct. The broadcasting infrastructure consolidation, as you know, has some issues, important issue or constraints to be managed. For example, the antitrust and normative, the famous DPCM. I don't think that this deal can materially easy or relax those specific constraints. It's more a matter of working to find a way that meet all constraints and conditions. So on the opposite, in case of Persidera, frequencies need to be managed carefully in respect of a vertical integration that could make the integration you ask more, let me say that, more complicated. So, and you ask a third question, Giancarlo, if you want.
Stefano, on the let's call it network operators market, Let me say that it's a sort of weird market, considering that basically the majority of the network operators works at a captive market like Rai, Mediaset, and the same Cairo, and the only real network operators open to the market is Persidera. Having said that, this is a market that, let me say, in the past has declined a little bit, in particular in terms of pricing, but let me say also that recently the market has stabilized with a good supply-demand balance. It's true, as you mentioned, that we have seen some smaller channels exiting the market, but at the same time, these channels have been easily replaced by others. And also in the future, let's say that on the supply-demand balance, the refarming, considering the reduction of multiplexes on one side and the technological upgrade to T2, the offer, the capacity offer should remain more or less stable, while in terms of demand, the preference and the move to HD channels should bring some benefit.
Okay, many thanks.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, Mr. Benucci, there are no questions registered at this time.
Okay, many thanks from our side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.